Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, whichever is proper for you, and welcome to Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sunday. We are a Christian internet church and a local church, and we love Jesus Christ. Amen. We we love Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm so glad that you're able to join us. For those of you who are new, we have Holy Communion on every Sunday service. So we encourage you to get your element, because shortly we're going to enter into prayer and we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Amen. You know, we were singing a song just before we came on the air, and the song says that the blood of Jesus never loses its power. You're right, it can't, because it's full of the life of God. Amen. Because the Bible declares that the life is in the blood. So the life of God was in the blood of Jesus Christ when he poured it out on Calvary for our sins. Amen. There's no power greater than that life and that love. And we come together to partake of that love as often as we can. Amen. We celebrate what Jesus did for everyone. Amen. And we receive what he's done for us. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
So we want to thank you, Father, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace, because truly we all do need your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Amen. We would not survive without it. Jesus said that without him, we can do nothing, and that is the truth. Amen. So, Father, we thank you that we were able to assemble together. There are countries and communities where you've been pushed out, and the people have no opportunity to worship you, to seek your face, to call upon your name as the body of Christ. But, Father, we pray for them, too. And we ask, Father, that you help them to overcome and give them avenues and ways of coming together as the body of Christ, because the Bible says that when two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. We welcome you. Welcome you. We welcome you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We also thank you for the blood of Jesus that surrounds us, that covers us, Father, that washes our ugly little sins away. Amen. We want to thank you for the wall of fire with your glory in the midst. We want to thank you for your warring, linking angels that surround us. We want to thank you for your shield. We want to thank you for your presence. We want to thank you for your power. We want to thank you for the praises of God being in our mouths and a two-edged sword in our hands. Amen. We give you praise, Lord, and we thank you for all that you've done. We want to encourage those of you that need a healing in your body to believe God today for that healing. We want to encourage those of you that need to fully recover from some incident that has happened in your body to believe God today for that. Amen? I don't care how many times you believe and you didn't quite make it. Well, let's go at it again. It's nothing like persistence. Amen? It's nothing like determination. It's nothing like not giving up. Amen? If you've been trying to get a breakthrough and you've been trying and trying and it still hasn't come, let's all try again. Amen? Because God gives breakthroughs. He is the Lord of the breakthrough. Amen? So if that's what you need, go find your faith wherever you put it. Dust it off. Blow that dust off it. Shake it out real good. And so it'll get going. You see, it's got to do something. Amen? It can't just sit there. It's got to do something. Amen? So wherever you hit it, where if you sat on it, that means you need to get up and move it, okay? Come on now. God is real. Faith is real. His power is real. His love is real. Jesus actually did die on the cross and raise on the third day, amen? It's not a story. It's not a fable. It is the word of God. It is the truth. It's actually what took place, amen? And that's why we're here today, because it actually did take place, amen? Jesus has never failed, because there is no failure in him. And when he lives in you, you should have no failure either. I don't care how many times you fall over and don't quite make it. Get up, shake yourself, and go at it in Jesus Christ again. Amen?
Amen.
I don't care how many operations they tell you you have to have. So what? Jesus is Lord of all. He's Lord of all. He is Lord of all. There is nothing he's not Lord over. He's Lord over this fast. And I know many of you have had a hard time just getting the regular things done on the fast that you've been trying to do. Well, it's the high days. We've got extra opposition. It's going to take some, let's get down to it now. Let's just go on in. Amen? There are times when you just have to put your hands to the plow and plow on no matter what happens. There are times you can't keep looking at circumstances and getting annoyed every time something happens. There are times you just have to put your hands to it and just press on through. Amen? We are in those times in Jesus' name. Amen? We are in that season. This is the season that the devil's going to do absolutely, positively, everything he can do to keep you from doing what God's called you to do. And you've got to be more determined than he is. He does not have power over your will. He cannot stop you from obeying God. He can't make you back up or quit. You have to do that. And since that's forbidden in the Word, surely you're in agreement with the Word, so you won't be giving up. And if you do, you'll change your mind and repent immediately, won't you? Amen. I know you will. I know you will. Because you love God and you know we're too close to the end to be quitting on anything. Amen. I don't care how many times your children get on your nerves. Well, that's what they're designed to do. Didn't you know that? That's what they're designed to do. Make sure you have faith. You will stay on your knees if you have children. Do you understand? That's the way life is designed. Life is designed with things well suited in it to cause us to call on God. Sometimes it's your children. Sometimes it's your spouse. Sometimes it's your neighbors. Sometimes it's your job. Sometimes it's your family. Sometimes it's you. Amen? Amen. No matter what it is, circumstances are here to get on our nerves on purpose. Amen? So that we can learn to do what the Bible says to do. Amen? So when the circumstance comes, when the irritation and the annoyance and the vexation come, say hallelujah anyhow. Amen? Because it's coming. And it's coming left, right, up, down, everywhere it can. It's coming. Know that it's coming. Have your armor on. Have your shield up. Have your sword ready because it's coming. Amen? Amen. Don't look discouraged. This is real. This is real life. And you've got to make it in God. Amen? You've got to have a made-up mind if you're going to serve the Lord. So you just need to say, okay, Lord, I'm here. Devil, you're not going to stop me. And you just got to keep going and command the devil to get out of your way. Command him to get out of your way. I have never had so many things happen in one morning to keep me from getting to church and getting a sermon and getting this done, and things that just normally flow didn't flow today. I was in the back seat of my car and couldn't get out the door. That door has never not opened in the 16 years I've owned that car. It just has never happened. And so it wouldn't open. And I just politely crawled across the seat and went out the other door. I just wasn't going to take time to play with the devil today. Now, I guarantee you if I go out there now, it'll open automatically. But you know how the devil is. He's just a pain. And you have to treat him like that's what he really is. Because he doesn't have power over you. He doesn't have power over you. He does not have power over you. You have power over him, and he doesn't want you to use it. He doesn't want you to use it. So if you've been having problems in your mind, you need to address your enemy. You need to stop sitting there taking it over and over and over and over again. You need to finally get up and pick up the Bible and say, it is written. I don't have a spirit of fear. I have power from God, and I have a sound mind in Jesus' name. It's mine because he gave it to me. The blood of Jesus purchased it for me. It's mine, and you can't take it from me. So make up your mind what you're going to do. Are you going to sit on the sidelines and watch everybody else win at the journey of this journey and this race of life? Or are you going to get up and be a partaker, be an active participant? Give up your passivity. You can't stay in the dugout forever. At some point, you're going to have to get up and run around the bases like everybody else. You can't just sit there, well, God, when are you going to do it for me? Well, get up and do what I've been telling you to do. Perhaps that'll be your beginning. You have a mind. God gave it to you. The only way the devil can take it is if you give it to him. You have to take it back. It's yours already. It's yours. It belongs to you. So you need to act like it's yours. You know it's yours. Your health is yours. Your health belongs to you. He gave you that body. He said he desires for us to prosper and be in health, even as our souls prosper. God wants you to be in good health. It's your health. Are you going to take it and say, no, God gave it to me. I'm going to have it, and nobody or nothing is going to steal it. It's up to you. Where do you stand? Are you on the Lord's side? Well, I'm on the Lord's side. You have to make up your own mind. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we lift up that accident that's on the interstate. We bind the work of the devil. That was the enemy being nasty this morning. We bind him in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus over the area. We bind the devils that walked through there and left their dirt behind in Jesus' name. We plead the blood over the people, Lord. If there was anyone hurt, Lord Jesus, we ask that you heal them. If there was any damage done, Lord, we ask that you see to it is fixed. Whatever the situation needs, Lord, release your mercy and your grace in Jesus' name. Release your mercy and grace. Release your mercy and grace, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for releasing your angels. Thank you for releasing your hosts. Thank you, Lord, that their situation is taken care of in the name of Jesus Christ. We come before you, Father, thanking you for your blood. We come before you, Lord, repenting of our sins, because we have missed it this week. We got annoyed. We got angry. We got aggravated. Folk got on our nerves, and the devil pushed the button. And although it's not the response we once had, it's not the one we should have had either. So, Father, we've come short, however we came short. We said something to somebody we shouldn't have said. We had an attitude. We wouldn't grow up. We wouldn't do this. Whatever the situation is, Lord, we are heartily sorry for what we've done wrong. And we're believing you, Lord, to take us to the next place so that we're stronger, so that we act more like you and less like who we used to be. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for forgiving us for our unbelief. Because if we had actually done what we should have done, we wouldn't have done that. We ask you, Father, to forgive us for forgetting to put on our armor like we know to do. We ask you to forgive us for not doing the spiritual warfare we needed to do. We ask you to forgive us for not playing the word over us 24/7 like we're instructed to do. We ask you to forgive us for not praising you right in the middle of the mess. We ask you to forgive us for all of our murmuring and complaining and fault-finding and judging and all that other stuff that's unloving that we have done. We ask you, Lord, to cleanse us, create in us a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within us, Lord. We thank you that you take our sins, our iniquities, our trespasses, and our bad attitudes, and you put it in the sea of forgetfulness. Today's a new day. This is a new day in the kingdom. Yesterday's gone. We have a new chance to begin again. And we thank you for every opportunity that you give us. Now, Lord, we thank you for the grace. We thank you for the sacrifice. You see, Jesus in Gethsemane, he acted like we should act. He did what we should do. He said, Father, if you could take this cup away from me, please do. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's submission. That's honor. That's obedience. That's humility. Help us to do, Father, what Jesus did. And so as we're approaching our Calvary, we'll already be dead to our flesh, and we will rise in victory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you as the body of Christ, and we come to celebrate everything Jesus did. Amen? Because what he did then is alive today. Holy Communion is the celebration that he gave us to celebrate his victory at Calvary. Amen? We come to celebrate and to participate in Jesus' name. And if you have your elements, I believe we're all ready. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Partake of the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup in the New Testament, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Partake of the cup. Amen. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Thank you, Lord, for your chastening, for your correction, because we do not want to be condemned with the world. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for our armor. We need it. We're wearing it. We're covering our minds with it. Amen. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our shepherd and we shall not want, because you supplied all of our needs according to your riches and glory, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan the strong man and all of his angels, all of his evil spirits, all demonic agents, all of his underlings, and we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ, and I don't hear anybody praying. Something's wrong with that. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We close and seal all portals, all channels, all open doors of access to the enemy. Prayer languages, please. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind all sources of witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks unto the heads of the devils that bring them. That bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, reporting demons, watchers, peeps, whisperers, familiar demons, all technology demons and their attacks, all Leviathan spirits and their attacks, Kundalini spirits and their attacks, water and marine spirits and their attacks, sex devils and their attacks, all unclean spirits and their attacks, all passive devils and their attacks, all sorcery devils, seducing, womanizing, drones, whoredom spirits and their attacks, all the voices of the stranger and their attacks, all hypnotic trance devils and their attacks, all mystic rituals and their intent. We overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts, Egyptian magic, Chaldean magic, Hindu and Indian and African religious practices in Jesus' name. We bind all Morgellons attacks. We bind every attack to the, and we return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils. We bind all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in the American culture. We bind hyperactivity, racing mind, inattention, impulsivity in Jesus' name. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog. We bind the lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits. We bind mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order, New Age movement, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, the spirit and the children of disobedience, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death, premonition, clairvoyance, EST, telepathy, psychokinesis, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every spirit of death, destruction, chaos, and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, and the king of pride in Jesus' name. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, and soul sacrifices. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and the temptation to sin. We bind you in Jesus' name. We bind Baal, Beelzebub, Belial, Mammon, Apollyon, Zeus, Baphomet, and his 72, Neptune, Python, Baselic, Molech, and all of the Harry Potter devils in Jesus' name. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins, and dolls, hot and cold spots, and return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions, and we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions rooted in sin. We renounce and denounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and send their fear, harassment, and witchcraft back on their own heads as well as their mind control in the name of Jesus according to 2 Thessalonians 1:6. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. Lord, we have come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we have come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Amen. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief in whom we serve and obey. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for all who are in authority, for kings and for all true Christians everywhere. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us, Lord. We cut ourselves free, Lord, from every demonic connection in the name of Jesus, all ungodly soul ties, attachments, covenants, agreements, oaths, consents, garlands, vows, pledges, pacts, and every other form of agreement with the demonic realm. We break the power of every witch, warlock, wizard, Satanist, shaman, and sorcerer in the name of Jesus Christ. We break the power of every curse, hex, vex, spell, charm, fetishes, all the psychic warfare being sent against us, all witchcraft, sorcery, magic, voodoo, all mind control being sent against us, all jinxes, potions, bewitchments, death, destruction, sickness, pain, and torment, incense and candle burning, incantations, chanting, ungodly blessings, voodoo, crystals, root work, and every possible form of demonic warfare that exists, we bind you and chain you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we forbid you to attack us again in the name of Jesus Christ. We return you to the sender according to the covenant in Jesus' name. We bind all tribal rituals and the sins and demons that go with it in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind accidents. We bind collisions. We bind traffic incidents in Jesus' name. We bind animals coming across our path, and we bind people cutting us off in traffic in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every type, order, and rank of vehicular trouble in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind us running out of gas. We bind our cars going out of air. We bind up our cars and our vehicles breaking down in Jesus' name. We take authority, dominion, and power over the demons of the road in the name of Jesus Christ, and we bind and break your power in the name of Jesus. We wrap you up in your own wickedness. We chain you up in your own wickedness, and it comes against you and not us in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that you have dispatched angels over our path in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We plead the blood of Jesus in Psalm 91 over everyone, Lord, that is listening today in Jesus' name. We thank you that your word is truth, Lord, and we thank you that you have given your angels charge over us to watch over us and protect us. We bind spirits of blindness, binding spirits of bondage, heaviness, hate, and fear in the name of Jesus. We break every yoke that our Heavenly Father did not give. We break every yoke. We break every yoke in the name of Jesus Christ. We break every yoke in the name of Jesus Christ. We break every yoke in the name of Jesus Christ. Every attack that came to us this week, we return it where it came from in the name of Jesus. Every demon, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Body of Christ, cough those spirits out. Chop them out. Every spirit that's not of Jesus Christ, deep breath and cough. Deep breath and cough. Deep breath and cough right now. Deep breath and cough. Deep breath and cough in Jesus' name. Deep breath and cough in Jesus' name. Deep breath and cough from your gut in the name of Jesus. If you don't, those spirits will stay in you. All those infirm spirits will still be there. Deep breath and cough in the name of Jesus Christ. Deep breath and cough. Cough them out now in the name of Jesus. Everything that's been troubling you, everything that's been attacking you, everything that's been bothering you and bind you, we break your grip and hold in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose their minds. 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 Loose their minds in Jesus' name. Come up and out of God's people. Come 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 out of God's people right now in the name of Jesus. Come out of God's people. Come out of God's people in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go into the cage to the feet of Jesus for judgment. Father, we thank you for releasing your warring angels to war against these demons. Every religious devil is bound in Jesus' name. Every unbelieving devil is bound in Jesus' name. Come out of God's people. Come out of God's people now. Father, we thank you. And we give you praise, Lord. We thank you and we give you praise. We thank you and we give you praise. Take a deep breath and let the Holy Spirit fill those empty places. Father, we ask you to take these deliverances to completion in Jesus' name. Every marine spirit, fire of God upon you, the all-consuming fire of God upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of the mind in Jesus' name. Mind binding spirits, you're bound in Jesus' name. Spirits that come to wipe out our memories, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Spirits that cause us to forget what the word says, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Come up and out of God's people. Leave God's people right now in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ. We take back our minds with the blood. 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 We take back our minds with the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood. The blood of Jesus. Cough it out. Deep breath and cough. Just like that, in Jesus' name. Across the back. We cut you free in Jesus' name. We cut you free in the name of Jesus. Across the back. In Jesus' name. Every infirm spirit is bound in Jesus' name. Every infirm devil is bound and caged in Jesus' name. Come out of God's people. Even if you came down the family line, we remit their sins and the sins of their ancestors in Jesus' name. You had a family full of witchcraft. We bind those familiar devils in Jesus' name. Every order, form, and type, and rank of witchcraft, we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every spirit of witchcraft coming to you, transferred to you. We bind the magic touch in Jesus' name. Come up and out of God's people. Witchcraft, come out of God's people, come out of God's people, come out of God's people in Jesus' name. Come out of God's people. Every form, order, and rank of witchcraft, all psychic warfare coming against the body of Christ, we bind it in the name of Jesus. Go into the cage, to the feet of Jesus. Psychic warfare, come on out. Go back where you came from in Jesus' name. Every come out of God's people in the name of Jesus. Come up and out in Jesus' name. Come out of God's people. We put the cross of Calvary between your now and your then in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for the nation of Israel, for protection and safety from foreign attack in the name of Jesus. We take authority, dominion, and power over every spirit that would attack Israel in Jesus' name, attacking psychic warfare, chemical warfare, biological warfare. With armaments, we bind you. Your plots and plans, we break your grip and hold in Jesus' name. We break your grip and hold in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Father, we lift up prayers for Donald J. Trump, that he would continue to move forward with your plans for his service to this nation in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for security and protection from all true Christians, from the global elite and their satanic inspired agendas in Jesus' name. We break the power of every agenda. Every agenda. We bind your grip and hold on the nations in Jesus' name. We break your grip and hold on the nation. We break your grip and hold on the nation. On governments, over people, over countries, over territories. We break your grip and hold in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for the financial security and prosperity of the believers in this ministry in Jesus' name. The devil, get out of the way in Jesus' name. We bind you. Get out of the way. We break your grip and hold. We bind your hindrances. We bind your blockages. We bind your delays in the name of Jesus. You cannot stop the power of God. Prosperity. Financial security. Released over God's people in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for the Lord's wisdom to each member concerning their own personal matters in Jesus' name. We release the wisdom of God. The fear of God, the wisdom of God, release to God's people in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for deliverance and healing for all members who are attacked by marine spirits in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. Fire of God, burn it out. Burn it out. Fire of God, 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 come and burn it out. Holy Ghost, come with Holy Ghost fire. 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 Burn it out. Burn it out. Burn it out in Jesus' name. Father, we release the peace of God upon all who join us for service each week, Lord. We release your peace, your peace, your peace, your joy, your love. Your love, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, our hearts towards God. Our hearts toward God. Have you ever refused to listen to the voice of the Lord? Have you ever refused to talk with him because you feared that he would tell you what you don't want to hear? Have you ever refused instructions or directions and stubbornly persisted with your own ideas, your own plans, your own way? Have you ever shut out counsel because it didn't agree with what you wanted? Have you ever refused to accept that God was not going to give you the answer you wanted on your terms? Have you ever done that? Well, there's hope for you. God cares. He loves you. He knows about your weakness. He knows about your rebellion. He knows about your unbelief and your refusal to do what he said to do. And he's come to help us. Amen? Even when we fall flat on our faces, saints, God comes to scoop us up and to help us get it together. Amen? Amen. So just because we have a faith failure because we fail to walk in faith doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. Amen. It doesn't mean he's forsaken us. Amen. Boy, that was weak, y'all. Come on.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God does not desert us just because we mess up. He knew we were going to mess up a long time ago before he made us. And he was well prepared. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well prepared. So, I think I'll keep this up here. And we'll just figure out how to do it. Okay. Praise the Lord. So, saints, just because you have a faith mess up, or you mess up, or however it goes, doesn't mean that it's the end of the road with you and the Lord. It means you just need to go to your Father and say, okay, I messed up. I messed up. I need help. I messed this up. Sorry. I messed this up really bad, and I need help. So, we're going to talk about these wonderful times that we have in our Christian walk. And some of you are going to say, well, that's never happened to me. And I'm going to say, keep living. Amen. You see, Satan will try to use anything he can to lead you step by step into a deep, dark pit of spiritual darkness where you are. That's what he does. He's doing his job, so we should do ours. So in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 33, Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 33, and the Bible says about God's people, and they have turned unto me the back and not the face. They have turned unto me the back and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. You know, we agreed that hearkening was listening with the intent to obey. The Lord is saying here that no matter how he tried to reach us, we didn't listen to receive his instructions with intent to obey. Why? Well, maybe we were in a bad mood. But the devil wants to use that to hurt us. He wants to take us step by step into a dark pit of spiritual darkness where we are mad at God and we are questioning him with words that are hard against him. You know, there's a scripture that says, your words are stout against me. I said, what does that mean? He says, they're very hard, kind of mean, you know. You're accusing me of not loving you, and that's just not the case. The devil wants us alienated from God, cut off from God, unable and unwilling to hear his voice. Unable and unwilling to hear his voice. He wants us callous. He wants us disobedient, and he wants us unrepentant. And that's a disaster right there, if you'd agree. This is a warning that is directed to God's people today. Many Christians have hardened their hearts to the truth, to hearing and believing God's word. You say, well, Pastor, nobody would do that. Oh, yes, they will. Oh, yes, they will. It happens every day. They've hardened their hearts in unbelief and are unable to see the fulfillment of God's covenant promises in their lives that they are still confessing. You see, they're confessing them, but they don't really believe it. It's like when we do spiritual warfare, and you hear all the many things that are prayed, but you don't add faith with it. And so during the course of the week, what we already bound attacks you. Why? Because you didn't add any faith with it. Because when you add your faith and your agreement with it, the protection comes on you. Amen? Amen. That's the way that works. Praise the Lord. Good. We're in agreement on that. Well, those whose hearts have been hardened are past feeling and have lost all sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. That's hard. Because the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And if you can't follow your leader, where do you end up? In a ditch. And if you're following some blind person, they're going to fall in the ditch, and so are you. And that's the way that works. There is no remorse concerning sin. They're so hardened in it that they aren't upset that they're acting that way. This dangerous condition of having a hardened heart doesn't happen overnight. Hearts do not become hardened through one sinful act. You know, they say when a person kills another person, it's easier for them to kill the next one. Why? Because they become callous. They become hardened there. Their emotions harden. Their minds harden. Their hearts harden. It's nothing to them to do it again because they did it once before. That's a dangerous place to be, a very dangerous place to be. You know, the first time you yelled at your spouse, you agreed, you felt the Holy Spirit, you agreed. But then the next 20 times, you just didn't care. You just let it rip and said anything you felt like saying. It didn't matter how bad it hurt. Because you're now hardened in that place. Amen? It's like when a bone gets broken, the place where the break takes place. When it comes back together and heals, it grows a callus or a real hard place over the break place. And that's to keep it from breaking there again. But you see, our hearts are not supposed to be like that. We're supposed to be tender-hearted. Especially toward the Lord. Amen? We're supposed to feel it still when we do something wrong. Our conscience is supposed to say, that's wrong, and we're supposed to know it. And we're not supposed to ignore it and pretend it didn't happen. We're supposed to immediately repent. That's what we're supposed to do. So this condition doesn't come with just one time when you do it. It's a gradual thing. It develops through a progression of things that happen. Amen? So let's go to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews. I'm going to go to Hebrews 2. I'm going to go to Hebrews 2. Might take me longer to get there, but I'm going. Amen. We're going to Hebrews. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 3. And we're going to start with verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3, starting with verse 7. As the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, even if it's what you don't want to hear, harden not your heart, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. So you see, what happened was the way got kind of hard out there in the wilderness. God was providing their needs, but it was still kind of tough. They were used to the lifestyle that they had developed back in Egypt when they were slaves and in bondage. Some things they didn't have to press for, push for, or work for because it was thrown at them. Here, this is what you're going to have. They didn't have any say in it. They just got whatever was thrown at them. They were slaves. They weren't in charge of their own lives. But you see, God had set them free. He made them free. They had liberty. They had say in how things went. And so when times got tough, instead of just believing that God was going to do what he said he's going to do, because God can't lie, and after all, I've seen this cloud, a pillow over me, and this fire that kept the Egyptians from getting me, and he drowned them in the Red Sea, and he brought me over here. Instead of me remembering what God has already done for me, no. What I do is get upset with God because it's getting hard, and my flesh is not liking it at all. You know, that flesh that was supposed to be crucified and dead, and we're not responsible to respond to it, that flesh, self. So he says that your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. So I was grieved with that generation because they were erring in their heart. The error is in the heart. The spirit of error goes to the heart. And as a result of the error in the heart, they didn't know God's ways. That's what happened. So he tells us now that it's our turn, going through our personal wilderness, whatever that might be. Be careful that you don't enter into my rest, or that you don't receive the promises that I've given you. Be careful, pay attention, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Well, you say, well, how do you get an evil heart of unbelief? Well, let me give you this example. You've been trying to get this breakthrough for the last 8 years, and you've been fasting periodically and praying continually and believing what you hear at church and reading your Bible and being a good Christian, but it still hadn't moved, and it still hadn't moved, and it still hadn't moved. There's a scripture that says hope deferred makes the heart sick. Well, you have authority over whether your heart becomes sick. Because by the stripes of Jesus, you've already been healed. You see, he took the stripes 2,000 years ago, so the healing's released already. So if something happens to your heart, you can have it wrapped in them same blood stripes and have your healing to your heart to come. Amen? I remember one day I was sitting in the parking lot of Pick and Save, and I was having a discussion with the Lord in my car about what if so-and-so-and-so does such-and-such-and-such and my feelings get hurt again. And I finally said to the Lord, well, Lord, if that happens, you can heal my heart as many times as I need. No matter how many times that happens to me, you can heal my heart and make it right. So you see, saints, I could have gotten hardened there. I could have said, well, I'm just not ever going to trust so-and-so ever again. I'm not going to have anything to do with so-and-so because you know how so-and-so is, and you know da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I could have hardened myself right then, or I could keep myself open to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, if that were to happen, then I just need to come to you so you can heal my heart again, and I'll be fixed, and I can go right on. But you know, we're tempted to do it the other way. We're tempted to say, well, I'm just giving up. I'm not trying anymore. I've done this over and over and over and over and over, and I can't get what I'm looking for. But if that's the Lord's instructions to you, then you need to obey him and then ask him, Lord, are there any further instructions? Is there something I am not doing? Maybe I've forgotten something. Maybe I omitted something. Maybe there's something still in my heart that shouldn't be there. I know of someone who talked to me this week, and they said to me, you know, my son got sick, and I laid hands on him, and nothing happened. In fact, it got worse. So he could have said, well, this word don't work. But he didn't. He went to the Lord. He says, Lord, is there something I'm not doing, something I'm forgetting, something I'm just walking past, something I think I've already done? And as he went on with his day, he heard the word fasting. He said, yeah, fasting. Let me get on that. And so he started right then, that second. He didn't let the devil have an opportunity to take that word from him. After, you know, you get busy doing stuff, doing this, doing that, and that word. You remember when Jesus spoke to Peter, when Peter said, Lord, if that's you, call me out. Bid me to come on the water. And Jesus said, come. Peter didn't hesitate. He jumped out the boat. That was a good thing about Peter. He had that spontaneous response to the Lord. Well, this brother did the same thing. The Lord said, fast. He stopped eating right then. Most of us aren't like that. We want to negotiate. But that's not obedience. We say, yes, sir, fast, and get to it. If you had a piece of bread in your mouth, that's the end of that. You see, we allow the enemy to come steal a word from us. We get busy doing what we're doing, whatever that is. You know, we're going, we got this to do, and we got our list of things to do from sunrise to sunset and after sunset. And at no time are we ever going to put that down to say, yes, sir, right now I'll do it. But that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're called to do. So, you see, if you allow your heart to harden, if you allow it to become callous, you're going to end up backslidden. That's how it happens in the heart, you see? So the Holy Spirit says he's calling you today. Lest there be any of you that are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Deceitful. Yeah. Like just because you don't do what he said this time, it's not really that bad. Oh, yes, it is. It's sin and it's rebellion. It brings a curse and demons. There it is. Well, maybe this time I just got to do what makes sense to me. No, you got to do what God said to do. Obedience is always appropriate. There is no time that it's not. Amen? It's always the right thing to do because it's always right. How could you miss with obedience? He says we're made partakers of Christ. How are we made participants of Jesus Christ? He answers it. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. You know, there comes a point in the trial when you just got to be set. And you hold on to the end, no matter how long you got to wait for the end. You got to have this, I ain't giving up, no what, and I'm not going to be denied. I will not be denied. I will not be denied. Amen? Jesus said I could have it. He died for me to get it. The Father wants me to have it. The Holy Spirit's helping me. I will not be denied. At some point, you got to get there. At some point, you must get there. How long it takes you is pretty much up to you, but at some point, you must arrive. You have to. It's important. You see, the Bible says they did always err, and they didn't know his way. And when he gave them simple obedience, they didn't want to do it. Well, you can't learn his ways if you don't keep following the obedience that he gives you to do. Amen? Amen. Well, I don't know what to do. Well, doesn't James say, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally? I mean, he's not hoarding it to himself. He's wanting you to have it. Amen? Amen. Amen. He's wanting you to have it. So, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 1:32, that they did not believe the Lord. God promised to drive out their enemies and give them the possession of the land. They saw all the miracles, but they didn't believe God. They didn't believe him, and as a result, they rebelled. So when it came time for the test, when the press part came, they just rebelled. Why? Because they didn't believe him. See, your believer is going to be tested. You're going to be tested if you really believe what you say you believe. And most of us want a quick fix out of the trial. We don't want to go through the fire. But if you want that faith that's like pure gold, you got to go through the fire. There's only one way to get it. You got to go through the fire. There's no shortcut. There's no going around it. It's a must-needs-be kind of thing. So your faith is going to be tested. What you confess, what you say you believe, will be put to the test. But when it's put to the test, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep believing no matter what? Or are you going to back up? Are you going to back down? Are you going to compromise? No one can decide but you. It's up to you. It's very important that you understand that the devil can't stop you from obeying God, but you can. Amen? In Deuteronomy 1:26, notwithstanding, they wouldn't go up when God told them to go in and take possession of the land, but instead they rebelled against the commandment of the Lord. So, since they turned their backs on God and refused to obey him, we just read that scripture in Jeremiah, that they turned their backs to God, not their faces. You know, when you're facing somebody, there's intimacy, there's exchange, there's communication, even if it's just that you can see what's going on in their face and their emotions. But they turned their back. There's nothing to see. And God said he taught them over and over. But they wouldn't listen. Not only that, they didn't respond to discipline either. So when God comes to correct you, to give you walk in this way, and you refuse to do it, what is left? What is left? So God says, as a result of unbelief and a hardened heart against him, you're not going to get this promise. So I'm sure many of us want to have some crop failure about right now, because we can think of something that we've dropped off that God promised us that we should have that we're not walking in because we quit. We gave up. We're not walking in belief. So it says in verse 15, today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't get a bad attitude. Now, you know you do. So you can go ahead and repent before you all start talking about the bad attitude you're going to get. You know when God tells you something you really don't want to hear and you really don't want to do. And it's impossible for you to be a successful Christian and the situation never comes in your life where God tells you something you don't want to hear or something you don't want to do. He's God. He's sovereign. He's your Lord. He's the master of your life. The day's going to come. He's going to say something you don't really want to hear or tell you to do something you really don't want to do. But you say, Lord, I love you. Well, Jesus says in the gospel that he always pleased the Father. He always did what the Father wanted him to do. You see, that's the test of how much you love God, how much you obey him. That's the real test. It's not how many times you sing the song, oh, Lord, I love you. No, that's not it. It's how do you do in obedience. That's the test. That's the litmus test on do you really love? Okay, then do you really obey? And if you ever want to know if you really love the Lord, look at your obedience record. it tells the story. You know how they say the numbers don't lie? Well, your obedience record doesn't lie. So, he says in verse 18, to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They couldn't enter in because of unbelief. They didn't hold on to their faith. Saints, sometimes we do this, and it's not a blessing to us when we do. We usually learn from our mistakes, but we're coming to the place that we don't want to make that mistake again. Amen? That's a sin we don't want to commit again. We want to take possession of the covenant promises that God has given us. We do not want to reap the wages of sin. You see, the enemy comes step by step to harden our hearts. But God is saying, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Steadfast, yeah, that means you don't waver. You don't give up. You don't back down. You don't back up. And you don't go into compromise. You just stick with it. You stick with it all the way. All the way to the end. All the way across the finish line. Whenever they run a marathon, they got to make it to the end. Well, that's the way it is. You got to make it to the end. Not only the end of your Christian walk here on the earth, but every single trial or whatever it is that you're going through. You got to make it to the end. You can't quit. You can drink some more water, the water of the word. You can take a deep breath of the Holy Spirit and the fire of God. But you cannot quit. I guarantee you, if you try, the devil will be standing right there waiting. He's been waiting for you to get there anyway. His job is to keep you from crossing the finish line. And he's good at it. And he knows it. But the question is, are you going to let him get away with it? Are you or are you not? So, what they needed was to receive and possess the promises of God and their inheritance. And it's based on faithfulness and obedience to God. Faithfulness and obedience to God. You know, when there was one who forfeited his inheritance in the Old Testament. And you see, when you forfeit an inheritance, it's a dangerous thing. That's not a good thing to do. I wouldn't recommend it. God is very serious about this confident, steadfast to the end thing. See, Jesus didn't get on the cross and say, okay, I've been here for 5 minutes. I'm getting off now. Y'all let me down right now. He did not do that. He didn't say in Gethsemane, okay, Lord, you not removing this cup? Well, I'm not finna to go to the cross. He didn't do that. He humbled himself unto death. And we're going to have to humble ourselves to the death of our flesh. Sometimes you're not going to get what you want the way you want, when you want it, just like that. It ain't coming like that. It's not going to come on your timing. It's going to come on his. Our times and our seasons are in his hands, not in our hands. I know this is a hard message, but it's the truth. And we may as well face it, because this is the way it is. He's not erasing any of the scriptures out of the Bible. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he calls us to examine our own hearts. Come before him and say, Father, I'm having problems. Is it in my heart? He loves you. He's not going to pick you up and throw you out the kingdom. He's going to help you. But you got to be for real with him. You got to come and say, is it my heart? Is that where the problem is? Do I have unbelief in my heart? Do I really not believe that you're going to save so-and-so? Is that why I'm acting this way? You know, sometimes we just get sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, it's a temptation that comes to people everywhere, saints, sinners, everybody. We just get sick and tired of being sick and tired. We get in our faith, okay, Lord, I'm believing you for this, I'm believing you for this, I'm believing you for this. And we go good for a while. And then it doesn't seem like anything's happening. Well, so we go at it again, and we go at it again, and we go at it again, and we go at it again. And then nothing happens. Well, I just don't understand. God's got the power to do this, blah, blah, blah. Why didn't he do it right this minute? Well, if he did, we wouldn't develop much faith. You see, when they're toddlers, they have to get up and learn to walk. If the minute they got up and they walked two steps and they fell down on their bottom, well, if you just sit there and cry, you don't learn to walk, do you? You got to get up and go at it some more. And you got to keep getting up and going at it some more until you finally get strength in your muscles, in your legs, and you can chase somebody around the room. You can't give up. Why is it they don't give up? They see grown-ups walking everywhere they want to go, doing everything they want to do. And they are determined that they can do it too. So they don't quit. They keep falling down. And if you don't pep them when they fall down, but you cheer instead, they will be encouraged and get up sooner. And they'll understand that the falling down is part of the growing. The landing on their rump is part of the growing. It's part of the process. It's normal. It's not something to cry about. It's time to get up and try again. And then they go a little further. Then they learn to slide along the wall and all these other things and grab on a piece of furniture to help stabilize themselves. They just don't quit till they get it. And then when you see they're really ready, you go buy them white shoes with those hard bottoms so they really have something to stand on. And then they're ready to go then. They want those shoes on so they can go. Well, you ought to be the same way in Christ. Just because you land on your rump is not the end of the world. It's part of the growing process. Well, I'm not like the five-year-old. Well, the five-year-old is older than you and has already been through this part. So we're not comparing ourselves with somebody that's older and more seasoned, now are we? We're going to grow where we are, aren't we? Because that's what we're called to do. If you're in the first grade, you are not called to be in the eighth grade yet. First, you have to finish the first grade. That's the way that works. But you can't go around pointing your finger at the devil saying, it's the devil's fault he did this to me. No. You have power and authority over all the power of the devil. You just can't let him get away with what he's been getting away with all this time. Amen? You have to decide that you're going to resist him, that you are the resistance, and you're not taking it from him. That's your decision. That's your choice. Amen? Christians think they don't have unbelief in their hearts, but I got news for you. We all have some somewhere, and sooner or later it's going to show up because God is going to come and say, okay, I'm ready to work on this part of your life. And you're like, I don't like that, but that's not going to stop God. That's not going to stop God. He's going to work on that part because he wants you to be holy as he is holy. We're called to be that. Amen? Uh-huh. I hear those. Yeah, it's real. It's real. It's a temptation not to believe God when things aren't going the way you think they ought to go. But you have to resist that temptation. You have to bind that temptation. You have to know that you heard what God told you and the promise he gave you, and you can't let go. I can remember recently, I was laying in the bed, and I said something to the Lord. Well, I've tried this, and I'm not just going to. And I heard the song come up in my spirit, I won't let go of my faith. And I went, yes, sir. I knew that was the Holy Spirit. He's telling me don't let go. I've just had a disappointment because this happened this way, da-da-da, and then another disappointment and another one, and all of it's in the same category. And I'm like, Lord, don't let go of your faith, Sabrina. So I said, yes, sir. You know that's the only answer there is. There isn't another answer. You love the Lord. You want to please him with everything in you. You know there's only one answer. Yes, Lord. That's the answer. I don't really want to go through this with this person, Lord. He's like, I'm like, yes, sir. And you know you have to do it too. You have to do it too, even if the someone is you. But, Lord, I'm good at this, and this, and it's hard when I get to this part over here. And you can feel God looking right at you. Okay, it's difficult, so we're going to go through this together. You don't go through your trials by yourself. You go through with the Lord. You can talk to him the whole time. When it gets hard, when it's a little easier, when it gets downright sticky, when it gets pressing, you don't go through anything by yourself. He lives in you. He's going through with you. He is your encouragement. Amen. Amen. So, in Luke 24, you remember what happened in Luke 24. Well, if you forgot, we can go there now and talk about it a little. Luke 24, and we're going to go to verse 11 eventually. So, what happened here is Jesus had been buried, and he rose, in verse 6 he says, he's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? He's saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and the third day rise again. And then they remembered his word. Oh, yeah, he did say that. And so they returned from the sepulchre, they returned from the grave site, and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. The apostles are in hiding. The women come back and say, hey, we've been there. He's risen just like he said. They know they saw him die on the cross. They don't know about their risen thing. That would be unbelief, wouldn't it? They walked with Jesus for over 3 years. They saw every miracle he did. They heard every word he said. They saw miracles that aren't even recorded in the scripture. But when he told them he was going to the cross and die and was going to rise in 3 days, they said, okay, mental assent. But when it happened, when reality had set in, they went, uh-uh. And we do that too. That's why it's recorded in scripture to help us out. Because he said one thing, we said, yes, Lord. But when the reality kicks in, it's another world. Amen? So when that women came back to tell them in verse 11, it says, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. The experience was so traumatic that it stole their faith. They let it go. The experience of watching Jesus die on the cross, watching what had happened to them, was so traumatic to them, they let go of the word. They let go of what he said. And it's happened to some of us. When we had a nice little somewhat comfortable situation that we knew really wasn't right, oh, Lord, if you just deliver me, oh, Lord, if you just get me, oh, Lord, and oh, Lord. Well, oh, Lord, happened. He promises in the word to deliver us. So the deliverance comes, but it doesn't come the way you think it ought to happen. You think he ought to change everything in the circumstance to suit you, and he doesn't do it. You get fired. You lose your job. But I was the right one. You asked me to deliver you, child. I delivered you. He delivers you his way. He doesn't do it your way. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, but he's going to do it his way. Well, why didn't you heal me like this? The last time you healed me, I didn't have to have no operation, and I didn't have to this, and I didn't have to that, and I didn't have to keep going to these doctor's appointments. And this time, you just, excuse me, he is sovereign. He is sovereign. He is your sovereign Lord. He always does what is in your best interest, whether you like it or whether you don't. And that's a good growing up point for everybody. The Bible says in Philippians that he causes us to will and to do of his good pleasure, not our good pleasure. And while he works it out, it may not be the way you want it worked out. So he has some more things to take you through. And it's going to be difficult and rocky and rough, but you got to grow up at some point. You can't be a baby Christian forever. That's called retardation. And we don't have that in this kingdom. We go from faith to faith, strength to strength. That's the way it is. So the next time, you might have to go to the doctor. And you say, huh? But you got power to, he said, for you this time to go to the doctor. But this time I want you to go to the doctor. And he's not going to change just because you don't like it. You're going to have to decide you're either going to trust him and obey him or you're not. And if you don't, it's rebellion. And then that's sin. And then you have an open door. And then here comes the demon. That's the way it works. We don't sugarcoat it here. We just tell the truth. Amen? So they didn't believe him. But in Mark 16, let's go to Mark 16. Mark 16. In Mark 16, they went to the sepulcher. The stone was rolled away. They saw the angel sitting there, and they were scared. He said, relax. Don't be upset. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's risen. He isn't here. He done moved out already. He didn't need this sepulcher for long, and he didn't stay here long. See the place where they laid him? He's not there anymore. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly. So that means they believed the report of the angel. They didn't dig another hole in the ground trying to find him. They got up and went. So they believed. And they left. They left the gravesite. They left the cemetery, for they were trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Okay. All right. That's good. Verse 11, and they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Now, we know who didn't believe, don't we? We know the disciples decided that they were grieving, they were mourning, they were in sorrow, and they just weren't going to believe it. And then they told the rest of them, and the rest of them didn't believe it either. So when Jesus showed up, this is what happened in verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. They said, well, we may as well eat. And he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Unbelief, hard heart, and he came to tell them, you were wrong. So saying, he says in verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Well, if you don't believe there are devils and you don't believe in deliverance, you won't be casting any out, I don't suppose. They shall speak with new tongues. There are people that don't believe that. They believe it passed away a long time ago. Got it? I believe. I don't know about you. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Well, what about it? Are you going to believe it or not? Amen? We must take heed. We must take heed. We have to watch out. We have to be on alert, because the devil is coming to do this to us. In our places of it hadn't happened yet, in our places of disappointment, in our places of setback, the devil is coming to get you off the promises of God. He's already made up his mind he's going to do this, and you need to make up your mind on no, he's not. Amen? We need to learn that we have to be aware of Satan's strategies and guard against them. Guard against them. You got a shield of faith. Put that thing up. Shields up. And resist Satan's attempts to bombard our minds with unbelief. Bombard our minds? Yeah. You know, we keep talking about this. Because if your heart gets hardened, it's going to make you unwilling to hear God's voice. Well, I don't hear him saying word for word. No, you get this strong unction coming up from your gut right into your heart. That's how he does it with you so far. But you know it's him, because you know that you know that you know. You've tried it out before. You know it's him. However he speaks to you, don't ignore him. Please don't ignore him. That's not good. It's not to your benefit nor your growth. But you see, when God spoke to the children of Israel time after time, they wouldn't listen. And we all need some spiritual wax remover. If you need some, ask the Holy Spirit. He's your helper. We all need some spiritual wax removers out of our spiritual ears so we can stop saying, was that you, Lord? And we can just say, yes, sir. I'll do what you say, sir. Thank you, sir. See, isn't that better? Don't you like it when you tell your children to do something and they say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, and they go do what you ask them to do? Or do you like it when you tell them to do something and they sit there and act like they didn't hear you? That's not so good, is it? It doesn't bring the nice, loving, warm feelings that you always have for them. It makes you want to do something a little different, but. Well, let's not do that to the Father. Amen? Amen? Because you see, the children of Israel had a hard time after they did that to him. They provoked him to anger. And they did it over and over and over and over. And we don't want to do that. Because there's a result if you keep provoking the Lord, isn't there? And it's not a desirable result, is it? So since we don't want the result, we won't do the crime. We don't want to do the time, so we won't do the crime, right? We're going to listen the first time. Amen? In fact, we're going to get our little notepad and we're going to write it down. So if we forget, we can go back and say, you said on January the 6th at 2:30 in the afternoon for me to do this. I got it. I forgot, but I got it here, and I'm going to go do it. Right? That's what we're going to do, right? We're not going to act like the people in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 7. Let's go see what happened in Jeremiah 7. Because I think we about got this down, don't you? We know not to ignore God. We know that he's trying to tell us some things that we don't really want to hear. He's trying to show us some things that we really don't want to know. He ain't going to put up with us sitting there claiming that we're hurt when he brought us out of a situation. But you brought me out, but my car is crushed in that accident. Are you alive, breathing, and well without a scratch? You know, it doesn't always happen the way we want it to. But he always keeps his word to us. So you found out that your spouse cheated on you. And you ready to march straight to the divorce lawyer. You ain't talking to God, because God just might say, don't do that. I want you to wait. I'm working on it. You don't want to go through that, especially when your family already knows about it and they chipping in your ear. Well, you know, you know how that goes. You don't want to go through that. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to put up with it. So you're just not going to talk to God about that. You're just going to make your appointment and go straight down to see the attorney. I know somebody that did that. They made their appointment. They went down to start their little proceedings. The next time they had an appointment, they showed up, the attorney was dead. Ain't that a kick? The attorney was dead and buried. Don't play with Jesus, okay? He's not to be trifled with. Don't do that. Just don't do that. Skip that one. Obey him the first time. They showed up to the appointment just like, I'm ready to get it on. I'm ready to get my, and the attorney was dead. So that person had to go home and face Jesus. Isn't that interesting? When you have to go home and face Jesus and say, well, Lord, okay. All right, so I'm wrong. That's a good place. Don't dread it. It's a good place. Because now you and Jesus can deal with the situation. You can begin to open up that package that you've been trying to shove in the back closet of your life. He can bring it on out. You can open it up together, and you can go through every part of it till everything gets right again. Amen. She had a slap in the face that day that she will never forget. It was cold, but it was real. And some of us have had some of those slaps too. But it's good for us when that happens. Why? Because we get to come to the Lord and we get to pull the facade down and we get to tell the truth and we get to hear the truth. And we get cleaned out, and we get healed, and we get delivered and set free. Don't run from it. Run to him. Run to him. He loves you just like he loved you before. He knew all about the things you were going to do before he made you. So don't run. Go straight to him and, okay, I was wrong. I was wrong. Don't be afraid to say, I was wrong. I mean, even the fawn said, you know, I was he was trying. He was struggling with it, but he was trying. Just say, okay, I was wrong. I admit it. I didn't do right. I didn't listen to you. I didn't even want to talk to you about this because I knew you was going to say something that I didn't want to hear. Okay, I was wrong. But I'm coming to you now, and I'm admitting where I've been, and I'm asking you to deal with my heart. I didn't want to believe you. I didn't want to go through the trouble of believing you to fix this. This is a long haul. I wanted it to be quick, fast, and over with. That's what I wanted. But you didn't do it that way. Because you want me to grow up. You want me to have faith. You want me to display your character in the earth. You want people to see me going through this. And see the strength that you bring into my life. And see the change from beginning to end. And they know for real that Jesus is in me, working on the inside, bringing his love to the outside. His character and nature to the outside. I know we want all of our trials to have nice, smooth sailing, and we land just perfectly on the tarmac. But I want you to know, we all have some turbulence, and we have bumpy landings sometimes, too. But it's for our good. If everything were just smooth sailing, we wouldn't need faith. We wouldn't need faith if everything was smooth sailing all the time. But we need faith. The disciples needed faith. Mary needed faith. Everybody needs faith. You can't please God without faith. And our faith has to grow. Amen? Amen. So Satan wants to keep us from having that time alone with God where we get real with God. Amen? We always have another strategy. We got an exit door. Lord, see that exit over there? It's an exit over there. Can I go through that door? And you don't want to ask him that. You just want to go through the door. It ain't going to work. See, there's an angel on the other side of the door going, I thought you said I surrender all, Lord. And you just and you back into the door. You know how that works. No, you don't get the quick exit. You get to go through it his way. Just like the toddler who wanted to walk immediately and kept landing on his rump. He didn't get instant, I'm born and I'm walking. No. He had to grow, and we have to grow too. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, there's growing to do. There's maturing to do. There's developing to do. Till we all come, as the Bible says, to the full stature, there's something to do. There's places to grow. There's pockets of unbelief that he's going to come ferret out. Sooner or later. And so we don't need to harden our hearts and get a bad attitude and pout. And I ain't talking to you, Lord, and I ain't reading my Bible, and I'm coming to church, but I ain't singing that song. We can't do that. We got to grow up. We got to be for real. We got to do what God's called us to do. Amen? Because people's souls depend on what we do. We are living epistles, living letters to all men that Jesus Christ did indeed die for our sins, rise from the dead, and he is Lord of all. They have to look at us and see it because they haven't ever read that book. They're looking at us. We're the Bible they're reading. So, yes, we're going to have trials and hard times. The enemy's going to come against us, but we're supposed to go through it with our Savior, with our deliverer, and he will help us to overcome. And the bump, that's part of the growing process. Amen? Amen. The Lord says that's enough for today. Praise God.
Praise.
Amen. Now, guess what's going to happen? Well, on Tuesday night, we're going to have a prayer meeting on the internet. I know we have church on Wednesday night, and we have church on Friday night, but we're going to have a prayer meeting. It isn't going to be long. I'm going to put it in the MIC radio chat. So you all go up to MIC radio chat and find out when the prayer meeting is going to be. It's going to be Tuesday. It's going to be Tuesday in the evening. So we're trying to give everybody time to get home from work, take a deep breath, do what you got to do, and then be settled and ready to pray for a little while. We're not going to, we definitely are not going to be there over an hour. Max, it'll be an hour. He said, would you watch with me 1 hour? So we're going to, it's going to be about an hour. And we're going to do what God wants us to do. And we're going to press on through this fast. And we're going to get the victories that are ours in Jesus' name. Amen. We have people that have extremely, extremely, extremely serious circumstances. We're going to pray for all of them. And we're going to pray for everybody else. Because all of us have extremely, extremely, extremely serious circumstances. Amen? So we're going to press in, and we're going to pray on this fast. We're going to keep reading Genesis. We're going to keep memorizing our scriptures, and we're going to refuse to fixate ourselves on what has not happened yet. Amen? Amen. Amen. What else? I had another announcement. What? Not that one. What else was I going to? Oh, yeah, that's the right one. Thank you. Amen. So our baptisms are starting again on Resurrection Sunday. Yay! April 4th, we're going to start our baptisms again. So when we are live on the air on Wednesdays and Fridays, you need to contact Pastor Bill in the MIC radio chat. You can chat him privately if you need to. Or tell him, just type in there, Brother Bill, I need to talk to you. And he will contact you in the chat room. And you all can get the arrangements and all of that other stuff that's done, you know, the business work of it. You know, he'll tell you what you need to know and tell you everything else you need to know, and then it'll be fine, okay? We'll be looking forward to seeing you. And what date you need to come. That's important. Praise the Lord. So I'm excited, I'm excited, I'm excited in the Lord. I hope that you're excited too. I hope that you learned something today. God's letting us out a little early. But he wants to talk about our hearts. And so now we're going to go home in our prayer closets, and we're going to be for real with God. We're going to lay our hearts right out. Say, okay, Lord, I'm ready. It's going to be okay. No matter what he says, it's going to be okay. I would rather hear from God and him rebuke me all day long than not hear from God at all. You know, you got to get there. If you haven't arrived there, hurry up. Don't take all day. I'd rather hear from God. It doesn't matter what he says to me as long as I hear from him. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me see. Is there anything else on the spirit? He says, no, that's it. That's it. Yes. Father, there's a surgery that has to take place tomorrow. Rinde la broca le dio son della bre de dio sahara casa de abrese de dia
Hallelujah. Quick recovery. Yes, Lord Jesus. Lord, there's some people that need some provision from you. They need some wisdom, and they need some provision for their children. We thank you that you provide. Usha. Ooh, connect them to the provision. Eshadadadiosa. Connect them to the provision. Arugaladadia. Connect them to the provision. Erugaladadiosa. Open up the avenue. Rigadadabresa. Rungadadadad. Release the wisdom. Rundadabresa. Irrigisadadadiosa. There's some people that have been attacked by marine spirits during this particular fast. They've really been attacked pretty bad. We bind those devils in the name of Jesus Christ. We send you back where you came from in the name of Jesus. Go back. Every attack must go back. Every attack must go back in Jesus' name. We bind you. We send you back where you came from. We raise the shield of faith. But they are those, Lord, that the oppressors have come and attacked them, and they've taken away every material thing that they have in this life. We ask you to restore them. Usha, restore. Have mercy, Lord. Restore. Your grace. Thank you for your sufficient grace, Lord. Thank you for your sufficient grace, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, saints, rise for the benediction. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Pastor loves you.